There's a point in Jesus' ministry when he's being challenged by the Pharisees and trying to get his point across to them as clear as he can. He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And he said this to them because they would claim, say, "Well, we're sons of Abraham." And that was their, you know, they were proud of that, that was their lineage, that was their heritage. And Jesus was trying to point them to something more eternal, something greater, something that was absolutely true for everyone. And when we understand that this is true for us too, before any story about us, before any conditions in our lives, we are spiritual beings. That's who and what we are. And as we let that be what resonates in our minds and in our hearts, then that's what will work through us into the expressions of our lives. It doesn't mean that everything will always work out the way we want it to, but that Spirit of God is always big enough to transform whatever is in front of us into a blessing if we connect ourselves consciously and let it work again and again in our lives. Now, the choir just sang about simple things. And when we get that simple thing, when we get that direct, we can live from that. The difficulty is that our minds, our rational, conscious minds, get all kinds of other stories working about who we are and what's going on that we forget this simple truth. And so we have to come back to it again and again. And that's, again, another part in the Gospel of John. This is just earlier than that last scripture. Yeah, the they there are the Pharisees saying, they said therefore to him, "Who are you?" And they didn't say it, you know, "Who are you?" They said, "Who are you?" You know, they're challenging, "Who are you?" And his answer is, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I haven't changed my story. I know who I am. And that's what I'm living from. That's what I'm teaching from. That's what I'm doing, living from that clarity." So we're invited to do that as well. And again, the challenge is that we don't always live from that. There's a phrase, I'm sure you've all heard that. We see the world not as it is, but as we are. And what that means is that we have filters in our consciousness, beliefs about ourselves and others. And as we look at the world, we're actually seeing through our own beliefs. And we've all heard the phrase about looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. Well, that's what we do one way or another. If we look out at the world and we see something fearful, it's because there's fear inside of us. If we look at the world and see something that's tragic, it's because there's tragedy inside of us. If we look at the world and see something joyful, it's because we've connected with that joy inside of us. And that's what we're allowing to express through us in our lives. So the key is for us to see that this is going on all the time. We see the world not as it is, but as we are. I was at our regional ministers and licensed teachers conference this last week. And I was part of an interesting conversation. One of the ministers was talking about that before each service that they go through and they bless each pew in the sanctuary. So when people come in and sit down, their pew is blessed. We have our prayer process that we do as well. So that our whole grounds are enfolded with prayer before you even get here. That's a part of what goes on. And one of the other ministers saying, well, why bother? Because it's all energy anyways. And I said, well, it's all energy, but that energy is focused differently in different ways. And we, you know, we can look at life and see focus of energy that's, you know, upset and, you know, things not working, or the energy can be focused as peace and wisdom and harmony. And so we do need to be conscious of how it is that we're focusing the energy that we are. That's the choice that we make. And in American Sign Language, the sign for identity is, it's the thought that we are presenting to the world. What's the idea? What's the understanding? What's the consciousness that you're showing to the world? Because we live out that in our lives. And usually what happens is that we're trying to be something that we think we're not. And so some of you may remember as a child playing dress up. Yeah, here she is with shoes that are too big. A hat that's too big, and these necklaces that are too long. But she's wanting to be grown up, and many times that's the way we are. We're wanting to be something that we think we're not. And this starts at an early age when we're trying to, you know, please our parents one way or another. It's a survival skill, And so, you know, it's something that's helpful for us, but we continue with it as we grow into, and we think, okay, so here's the situation, and because we're fearful, because we have self-talk about I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, don't have enough, you know, education, whatever, you know, we put on this face, this front, you know, remembering that in our English word personality comes from the Greek word persona, which is the mask that they used in the Greek plays, and if it was a comedy, it was a happy mask, and if it was a tragedy, it was a sad face mask. But we do that. You know, we present this mask to the world because, you know, we're not sure if they're going to like us the way we really are, so we want to, you know, show something else. And so we dress up somehow who we are, and we show up with less than what we really are because we aren't really owning that truth about ourselves. Because if we really owned that truth, we wouldn't need to put on a mask. We'd just show up. As Jesus said, I'm who I've been telling you from the beginning. I don't have anything else. I am what I am. And so that's the gift that's available to us working in our lives. So one of the ways we look to understand who we are is with this phrase, spirit, body, mind, spirit, or sometimes body, soul, spirit. We'll use that language as well. And what it says is that it's not that we have a body and that we have a mind and that we have a spirit. There's this energy field that flows from spirit through our consciousness, through our thinking, feeling, out into expression in our lives. And the way that it's usually pictured is this way, that at the core of who and what we are is spirit. And then we have our soul, which is our thinking and feeling, conscious, subconscious mind. There's different ways that we can label it. And then that is clothed by the body. So in a sense, the body clothes the soul and the soul clothes the spirit and gives it form, gives it shape. Now what happens is most of the time our attention is out on what the body and what's happening in the world. Oh, did you hear what she said? Oh, did you hear what he did? Oh, you know, they haven't figured things out back, you know, in Washington, D.C. yet. And we're all focused on those type of things. And so because that's what's filling our consciousness, then that's what's working out into our lives. And so we have the opportunity to not just be focused on the outer world, but instead to focus our consciousness on the spirit that is within us. And again, as I mentioned last week, not spirit as if it's in us in some one place, but the way that the ocean is in a wave, that's the way that spirit is in us. It's here to express through us, through our consciousness. If our consciousness is about limitation, about fear, about what isn't working, then that's what's going to show up. And we'll say, well, see, I told you, because we have evidence to our consciousness. We'll prove what we've been thinking in our lives. And so what happens is even when we get focused on spirit, things will happen in our lives where all of a sudden our attention goes this way and that and all over the place until we come back to spirit again. And that's the work that we have, to keep our attention coming back to that truth of who and what we are, that truth of that living presence of God in us. Now, I was focusing, meditating on this one time, and it went from being a two-dimensional image in my mind to expanding, becoming three-dimensional. So I went through sort of a phase like this. So we've got spirit, soul, and body. And again, this is conscious, subconscious mind. And the way that it showed itself to me was that spirit's always shining its light through our consciousness. And depending on what's in our consciousness, it shows up out in our body and out in the circumstances of our lives. Now, many of us grew up in a tradition where the training that we got for prayer was that our work in prayer was to change God. Oh, God, please, will you do something different than what you're doing? You know, and so we're wanting God to change. Well, we know that spirit is spirit. God is what God is. And again, whatever name we give it, higher power, infinite intelligence, it's spirit. And it's going to shine through what's ever in our consciousness out into the body. Much like a movie projector works. Think about a movie projector, you've got a light. And then you've got the film that goes in front of that light. And then because the light is shining through the film, it shows up out on the screen. If you don't like what's on the screen, you don't change the screen. You don't change the light, you change the film that's going in there. So in the same way, you know, if we'll spend lots of time sometimes just trying to change things in our lives. You know, if I only get, you know, a different person, a different job, different house or something, then I'll be happy. But if we haven't changed our consciousness, that light of spirit is going to shine through our consciousness and the same or similar circumstances are going to show up again. And so the work that we look at many times is changing what's here, changing our thoughts, changing our feelings. And the challenge is here, because we can look at it this way, is that I'm going to change my thoughts, right? I'm going to change what I believe. And we're able to focus, maybe for a couple seconds usually, on something. Maybe if we've really dedicated ourselves over a couple weeks, over the 40 days of Lent, we'll focus on something. But still, whatever we're focusing on, if it's just coming from our mind, is still going to be limited. It's still going to be, it could be positive, but it's still going to be limited. And so the way that I see our work is this, that what we want is we want spirit to be bringing its blessings into our consciousness, that meditation about opening our minds, opening ourselves to what God wants to bring forth, the truth of God, that light of God, that love of God, all those gifts of God, let that reshape this so that this will be reshaped just as an outworking of that. We don't need to make it work. It's going to unfold for us. So again, the work is not to change God, but to let God work in our consciousness, in our lives. So here's another way to phrase it. Identify with the truth of your God self and all its gifts. So this is what we're about, is to do this. Now, we're in this series for Lent titled Unified. So the first week we looked at undo. What is it that we need to release? What needs to let go? What needs to be in our lives in a way that's not going to help us? And then to nestle into that presence. We talked about that last week. Just sort of resting in that presence of God, feeling that connection, feeling that peace. And then now seeing who we are as a part of that, seeing that working in our lives. Let me just back this up here. So the first step in this is to unmask ourselves, to drop away this way that we thought we had to show up, thought we had to let other people, you know, like us and know who we are. And so we have to look at what it is that we need to let go of. And so these layers that we have of body and our mind, our thinking and feeling, and our mask, and to look at and ask the question, who am I? Am I my body? Am I my circumstances? Am I my roles? You know, am I a husband? Am I a father? Am I, you know, a neighbor? Is that who I am? And if we keep asking ourselves, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And we have all these things that come up till eventually, as we sort through that all, we come to the point that who I am is a spiritual being. That's the only answer that lasts. That's the only answer that will continue to inform us in a way that is a blessing, in a way that leads us to a sense of peace in our lives. And so recognize that this is the gift that we have then, is that whenever we catch ourselves identifying with some limitation in our lives, is to say, no, wait a minute, that's not who I am. That may be what I'm thinking right now, that may be what I'm feeling right now, that may be what I'm experiencing right now, but that's not who I am. Who am I? I'm a child of God. An offspring of the infinite, an expression of God's light. And again, whatever, however way we'll identify it, we'll come to that in a moment. But again, to recognize that many times, you know, we'll get a diagnosis from the doctor about, you know, this is the condition. And we can identify with that. You know, what happens to medical students when they're studying disease? They identify with the disease. They get the symptoms that they're studying. Not because they have the disease, but because they've been filling their mind with these symptoms, and so they begin to show up in their bodies. They identified with it. So the doctor can say, well, this is this, and it's going to be like this, and it's going to unfold this way, and it's going to happen this way, and you've got this many months or whatever. And we can identify with that and say, okay, that's who I am. But we don't have to. You know, it's called the doctor's opinion. We can have a different opinion. We can have spirit's opinion about our body. Same thing about our finances. You know, we can rail about, you know, why don't those people back there in Congress figure this thing out? You know, well, they're not the source of your prosperity. God is the source of your prosperity. You're a being of infinite abundance. And if that's how you identify yourself, you'll create all kinds of ways for good to come into your life. If you're waiting for them, you know, you were going to keep waiting and keep waiting because, they're never going to do it right. Because they're not there to serve us, they're there to get reelected. You know, that's the way they've identified themselves, and so that's what they're going to be working on. So we've got to recognize that we can't let other people determine who we are and what we should do. We have to do that for ourselves. One of the parts of the workshop that we had Wednesday at our conference. Bob Brummett was one of my classmates in school, and he did a presentation on this consciousness evolution that we're a part of. And he cited some work done by a German philosopher called John Gebser about the structures of consciousness. And he said that if you think back to caveman time, and he called it what he called archaic structure, that didn't really have much consciousness at all. It was just sort of survival, moment by moment. And then we eventually evolved to what he called the magical level of consciousness. This is a tribal level of consciousness, where we look at the world and we don't understand it, but we try to control it with different things. One of the examples that he gives is that the Mayans and the Incans would do human sacrifice as a way of appeasing the gods. And he explained it this way. He says it was their way of tithing. He says, we don't ask for that. We just ask for your money here. We're not going to ask for that. But it's a way of thinking that if we do something, we can change, you know, God. We can change the universe. We can change how things work by doing something different. And then we have the mythical during the medieval times that begins to identify not just with family and tribe, but begins to identify in terms of a city-state or in terms of a country, and then have stories about how that works. That's the mythical part of it, stories that we identify who we are. And again, the Roman Catholic Church in the West was very strong during this time because they had this story that they got everybody to buy into, and that the kings and queens were there by divine right and that whole type of thing. Well, then along comes the Renaissance, and then we have more of a mental way of identifying who we are and what we're about. Now all of a sudden, with our minds, we can look out at the universe and understand that the world isn't flat in the center of the universe, but we're a part of a system that's a part of a system, and that there's all these different things going on. We can use our mind to create things, do machines, and, you know, begin to understand genetics and all these type of things that begin to work during this time. And we're still sort of at the end of that mental time in our evolution, where we think that science is going to save us, where we think that, you know, economics are going to save us, that we think that there's some way that we can figure out with our human mind to do that. And he says that the only way that we'll survive as a human race is if we get to this next phase that he calls integral, and it being a perspective, in terms it doesn't have a perspective through which it's looking, but it has this way of embracing everything. And so what he says that each of these levels contain the levels that are below them. So we can be working towards this sort of integral, more spiritual level, but in the moment if somebody attacks our mother, we're back at that tribal level, and we've got that energy going again. And so that eventually we'll get, so we're living more and more on these higher levels, these spiritual ways of seeing. And as we do that, then we're moving beyond the limiting way of seeing ourselves and seeing ourselves as a part of this universal presence in life, an integral part of an integral whole. So another way to put it is this: I let go of who I think I am. And to me, this is an important part of our spiritual work, because however we identify ourselves, even the highest way that we can identify ourselves in one moment, if we stop there, and that's as high as we go, it's still limited, because God's greater than that. You know, any description of God is not God. You know, any description of ourselves is only a reflection of a consciousness in the moment. And whatever that is, God calls us to be something greater. We're continually called to expand to something else, so we can continually unmask how we've identified ourselves so that we can let go into something greater. So this is the work that we have to do. And think about it this way. You can walk into a room and the children have been playing and you could say, it's a mess. Or you walk into a room where the children have been playing and say, I'm going to sit down on the floor and play with the kids. I'm going to participate in this. It's not a mess. It's play. And so different ways of seeing the same thing. Same thing. Am I my fears? I can be afraid in one moment of something, of someone. But is that who I am? Only if I keep identifying myself that way. You know? Sometimes I'm greedy. Am I always greedy? No, sometimes I'm very generous in giving. And so we're not just one thing all the time. And so it's keep asking ourselves, who am I? Is this who I am? No, I'm something more than that. Is this who I am? No, I'm something more than that. I'm something more than that. And keep opening ourselves to that greater good. And rather than focusing on our smallest contracting parts, focus on the largest parts of us that are expanding into something more. And we keep unmasking the greater and greater good so that then we can reclothe ourselves in a consciousness of something more. And this image shows up several times in some of Paul's letters about putting on clothing as a metaphor for drawing something into our consciousness. And so one way to look at it would be this, to clothe yourself with light. Imagine that you put on a garment that's light and you're walking around with this, you know, with light that's surrounding you. Another way to do it is like to imagine that you have a garment of praise. Imagine that you put on a garment of praise so that everywhere you go, everyone, you say, oh, I love the way that you're smiling. Oh, look at the sparkle in your eyes. Oh, I just am so glad that you're here. You imagine that energy that you're going to be a part of, that you're going to create, and that people are going to want to be hanging out with you because you're just bringing up this wonderful gift of praise all the time. And so it's recognizing that this is how we can clothe ourselves in a consciousness like that. Another one, one of the phrases in the New Testament letters, to put on the armor of peace. So again, so that somebody can say whatever they say, they can do whatever they do, and you go, you know, I'm at peace. You can jump up and down and call me names and, you know, do all kinds of things. I'm peace. You know, like Jesus said, you know, they said, who are you? Who are you? He said, not any different than what I told you I am. I know who I am. You know, before whatever story you have, I am. You know, before whatever's showing up here, I am. After that, I am. That's all there is that I am. And so that's what we want to do, is to imagine clothing ourselves in that for ourselves so that we can, again, reorganize whatever energy has shown up in the way that we want. And again, remember the Spirit's here. Spirit is bringing its wisdom, its life, its love, pouring into us, rising up. Again, the metaphor of direction really doesn't make any difference. But it's that expression of Spirit that wants to use us as its instrument if we're clear enough, if we've let go of who we aren't so that we can be what God is expressing through us in our lives. We have a neighbor across the street and one house over who has three boys. And her boys and the neighborhood kids like to play. And there's a speed limit sign on our street that says 10 miles an hour. Most people don't drive that slow down the neighborhood. And so we sort of had this practice. People would drive down the street and we'd yell out, slow down! And of course, then they'd make ugly faces at us and we'd make ugly faces at them. So Sarah, the neighbor, decided that she wasn't happy with what that was creating in her experience. And so she got some of those signs. They're about this tall. They're made of bright yellow. It's like a small little human shape. And it says, children at play on the body of it. And so she, about three driveways up from her house on one side, she puts one sign. And about three driveways down on the other side of her house, she puts the other sign. And guess what? People slow down. They smile and they wave when they go by, and we smile and wave at them. Yeah? Much nicer than yelling. And so this is just an example of what we can do if we're not excited about what's showing up here, is to do something different in our minds, open up to see it in a different way. You know, because what we're creating is all, you know, energy that we didn't want. And so now there's a whole different energy that's there in our lives because she worked at clothing herself in a different way, clothing the experience in a different way. And so the gift that we have is that we can be breathing this sense of that presence of God into everything that we're doing, everything that's working in our life. Because then it creates for us this identifying ourselves with our God self and those gifts of Spirit that are wanting to express. And so clothe yourself in that, and it'll be working in your life. And then keep looking. Keep looking for a clearer truth about yourself, a larger truth about yourself. Keep exploring the possibilities of a greater good. And then you'll catch yourself, oh, here's something else I have to unmask. Here's something else I have to set aside. That's not who I am. This is who I am. This is the highest, most noble, most bold, most profound, most life-giving truth in the moment. I'm going to declare, that's who I am. That's who I am. That's how I'm going to live. That's how I'm going to be. Jesus tells a story about a pearl merchant who has all these pearls, but then one day he finds this most magnificent pearl. The story is called The Pearl of Great Price. And he sells everything else he has so that he can buy that one great pearl. Well, Jesus isn't talking about pearls. He's not talking about a pearl merchant. He's talking about us and our consciousness. He says we've got all kinds of things that we carry around with us that we say are valuable. Things that are physical, material things, things in our consciousness. You know, say, well, I need to stay angry at this person so I don't let them do that to me again. You know, and so that's something of value. And wait a minute. That's really not helping me. Because here's something greater. That I'm going to give away all this other stuff so that I can have this one great pearl. What is that great pearl? It's the truth that you are the Spirit of God. You are the offspring of the divine. Your spiritual identity is your eternal reality. That's the one pearl. And when that is where our focus is, when that's what we breathe, when that's what we think, when that's what we live, then that's what will be revealed through our lives. It doesn't mean that we won't have challenges. It doesn't mean that we won't have symptoms. It doesn't mean all those things. But it means that whenever we do, we can unmask them and say, no, there's another truth. I know who I am. Before Abraham was, before cancer, before bankruptcy, before any of these things, I am. I am that truth of God. When we live from a sense of limits, life will squeeze us. When we live from a sense of spiritual expansion, we'll find that new good is always rising up into our lives. So here's our affirmation. I am the livingness of God. Say that with me. I am the livingness of God. And again, I am the livingness of God. Let's take that into prayer. Dear God, we do recognize your truth in us as our truth. Always present, eternally present, and that we give ourselves to that truth that it may live through us in all its beauty and all its power, all its expressions. We let the livingness of your Spirit find new life in and through us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.